You know how any original ideas for dinner seem to dry up on the way home from work? You're hungry, but what to make? A total blank. Now, here's where pantry smarts are essential, and Rachel Koo has them. Now, if you watch British TV, you probably know Rachel. She calls herself a food creative. And though she trained in classical French cooking, her style's all her own. She roams the world doing food events and filming her discoveries. Talk about an ideal person to lift us out of the same old, same old. Rachel's book, Rachel Koo's Kitchen Notebook, is a good place to begin. Splendid Table contributor Shauna Seaver spoke with Rachel from London.
Hi, Rachel. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You first burst onto the food scene several years ago with books about French cooking and your life in Paris, and you really became known for that. And this book feels so much more personal and more eclectic in terms of the ingredients and the flavors that you're working with. Tell us what inspired this new book.
Yeah, so for my new cookbook, I really wanted to share, you know, my notebook. So the idea came from the fact that I travel around the world with this little notebook and I scribble things, I stick random things in, I do little drawings, and it's very eclectic in terms of flavors and tastes and recipes and inspiration. It's just a little flavor of what I've experienced in the last couple of years, and also flavors from my childhood because, you know, my mum's Austrian, my dad's Chinese Malaysian. I grew up in the UK, but I also lived in Germany. Then I lived in Paris for 8 years. So I have this really kind of United Nations eclectic food background. So it's a real hodgepodge of, you know, foods and flavors.
But you do use all of these great flavors to spice up the everyday, quite literally. And what I would love to hear about is your process of recording notes and ideas for recipes as you travel. So, for instance, when you visit a new place, do you have a specific approach for culinary exploring, or do you just sort of leave it open-ended?
Sometimes it's just about getting lost wherever you go, or, you know, just wandering down a little street. I always have to go to a supermarket. Like, I was in Estonia and I went to the supermarket and I was like, oh, this is a nice turquoise colored box. I'm going to buy it. And then I went home to my friend's place who I was staying at and I said, oh, I bought this. And he said, you bought a box of salt. I'm like, oh, okay.
So well, you never know. I think it could be the most amazing salt you've ever had.
Yes,
you just don't know.
Exactly. So I think it's a good way just to discover what the locals eat to head to the supermarket or the market.
That's a great tip. You know, even if people travel right here within the States, you can learn so much regionally by going to the Piggly Wiggly or the Publix, because there are things that you can kind of bring home and literally bring those flavors into your own kitchen, which I think is something a lot of us could really use tips on to liven up our everyday cooking. So if we're talking about building a more global pantry, what are some tips to do that? You know, things that we can use every day that are a little bit different from what we might normally use.
So one of the places I went to when I was researching the cookbook was Istanbul in Turkey. And that was really inspirational in terms of flavors, very eye-opening. And they use a spice called sumac, which has this kind of a little bit sour, sweet, very fragrant flavor. I use it in my lamb kebabs. They're really simple minced lamb kebabs. You just blend it into the mince. You could also use it on grilled fish or meat. You know, if you're doing a barbecue, just a bit of olive oil, mix it in and just brush it on. There are many ways you could use the sumac. You could even blend it into a little bit of a salad dressing, drizzle on. You can be very playful with sumac. When I went to Barcelona, in Spain, they have this beautiful paprika, and you get in these lovely tins. And sometimes I'm a sucker for packaging. So I just buy the tins, like I'm buying random boxes of salt in Estonia. So, you know, they have this lovely sweet paprika, and that paprika is great on, I make this spice rub for my trout. Really simple. And you just put it on the trout, you grill the trout, you've got this lovely, delicate fish, which really goes with that sweet paprika flavor, nice green salad on the side, and you've got a simple dinner, nothing fancy, but just a little bit different than your regular, oh, I'm just going to grill the trout with some olive oil and salt. And There's one thing I have from my Malaysian heritage. I always go and have like wonton mee, which is wonton dumplings with noodles with a special sauce when I'm in Malaysia. And when you go to a good place, they do pickled chilies with them. And it's like sweet, sour, and spicy at the same time. So you've got all these crazy sensations going on in your mouth. Now, those kind of chilies, it's not easy to find them outside Malaysia, but they're kind of the thing that you could easily replicate at home. And those pickled chilies, you can make, you can keep in your fridge for like months. It's easy. You can add it to pizzas. You can add it to stews. You can, I mean, I eat it out the jar. I put it on cheese on toast. It's a great way to add that kind of zing and that kind of ooh to your dish when it's lacking something.
I want to talk about your flavor combinations because that's one of the things that you do so well. And you know, perfect example, you do a shepherdless pie. It's sort of a vegetarian shepherd's pie where you take lentils instead of meat and it has a polenta topping. You do a strawberry and cream layer cake with black pepper, which is a really interesting twist. And I just wanted to know if you could tell us some tips for thinking about flavors in a different way. Like, you have a really unique perspective on how you combine flavors.
Well, because I have such a mixed heritage, I've always kind of mixed things up and I'm never afraid of trying new things. One thing I experienced in Istanbul was, you know, it's Asia meets Europe and they combine butter with soy sauce. And I love butter and I love soy sauce, but I never thought of putting them together. And boy, it's an amazing combination. I do this hot butter and soy sauce mackerel, and it's like that saltiness from the soy sauce with that creamy kind of rich flavor of the butter, and it's just divine. And you're like, just, okay, if you think something might work, give it a go. You know, there's nothing to lose. Like, I do a smoked haddock hash, and the recipe came from, I have random ingredients in my fridge, like cornichon, creme fraiche, and some salmon fish eggs. I'm like, oh, well, I've got potatoes. Let's see what I could make. And actually those cornichons, which are little like crunchy gherkins, the acidity works so well with that salty fish eggs and the creamy creme fraiche. And I was like, oh, why did I do it beforehand? You know, it was like when you discover like things like that, oh my goodness, it's like a revelation.
It's happy accidents in the kitchen. Those are the best ones.
Exactly.
And I mean, butter and soy sauce. Everyone has butter and soy sauce. I mean, I think I'm very hungry right now. I'm going to have to go home and try that out for myself. It sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. It was great having a chat with you.
Thank you.
Rachel Koo is author of Rachel Koo's Kitchen Notebook. Contributor Shauna Seaver is a food writer whose latest book is Real Sweet. Now, you can find Rachel's recipes for cauliflower cheeseburgers and potato churros with red pepper sauce on the website, splendidtable.org.